As I said earlier, I was able to go visit my mother, and again, appreciate your prayers. She's up hopping through and doing physical therapy, and so yesterday we celebrated my dad's 89th birthday. All of his kids and all got, yeah, that's a good hand clap. That's awesome. So we got up yesterday morning early to make the trek down there. We got up around 5. We left around 5:30, and as I was coming out of my house, I had picked up the keys to my Honda, and I wanted to drive my Honda yesterday. I had recently bought a newer model vehicle and had been driving a lot, trying to keep the mileage down, and thought the Honda would be in good enough shape to make the trip. And we get about 2/3 of the way, and I'm about 30 miles outside of Charlottesville, and the battery light comes on. Now, this applies to the message. Where's this going? Just hold on for a second, okay? And so the battery light. Now, one of my worst fears, if you'd say, what is one of your worst fears, Pastor? One of my worst fears is being one of those guys where you see their vehicle on the side of the interstate with a white T-shirt hanging out the windshield, which means I surrender, you can have my vehicle, I'm tired and I'm leaving. And so I'm thinking about 30 miles outside of Charlottesville, I'm making the trip, and I'm thinking, I'm going to be one of those guys. I'm going to be one of those guys with an abandoned vehicle on the side of Interstate 64 where we've done run out of gas, run out of operation mode, and we're stuck. And I mean, I just nursed that thing, and then one light came on, and then another light came on. And how many know when there's a lot of lights that are not supposed to be there to lighten up your dashboard, that's usually not a good sign. And so I nursed that thing all the way to Charlottesville, which is about 15 miles from home, and then it stopped and would not crank, wouldn't do anything. And I had to call my nephew to come get the vehicle. And then yesterday I had to borrow my brother's truck to come back to Hopewell to be able to preach to you today. So you said, Pastor, what has that got to do with our sermon today? I'll tell you what it has to do with it. I'm going to be preaching on running out of gas today. Because sometimes life treats you that way. Sometimes you get in that vehicle of life, you know, you've got everything set. You feel like you got a full tank of gas. You feel like everything's right. Everything's been checked out. And, you know, I'd asked Sean just 2 or 3 days before that day, Sean, does the Honda look like? He looked under the hood. He said, everything looks pretty good. Your belts look good. Everything's pretty good. And so, you know, I'm thinking I'm heading on a trip and I'm getting ready to make my way. And I've got my destination in mind. I got everything set. And then all of a sudden, something's run out. My gas has run out. My vehicle's not in proper serviceable order. And I'm stuck and stranded on the highway of life. And there's a part of us in our lives that we just want to put the T-shirt out and we want to hang it out on the side. And we just want to desert everything that we believe in. We want to desert everything. We just want to quit life and we want to just give up. And sometimes the enemy comes against us that way. And sometimes it's not our fault. We've done everything right. We've done all that we were supposed to do, but we just feel like we're running on empty. We just got nothing else to give. And I don't know if that maybe is you today. Maybe you've been facing some challenges in your life. I'm going to share a story out of the Old Testament about a prophet who came upon a situation where a person was in desperation. A person had a situation that was not of their making. They had done all the right things. They had followed all the right rules, but for some reason they have been left stranded on this highway of life and they didn't know what to do to get themselves to the better place. But how many know that God always has a plan? God does not leave you deserted on the side of the highway. See, I knew who to call when I got to Charlottesville. I could call Kenny, my nephew. He's dependable. He knows he's got a truck that will get my vehicle to a place where I can find it and get it right and get it back on the road. And what I want to tell you this morning is God wants you back on the road. God wants you back into a place where you feel like, hey, I'm making progress somewhere. There is no worse feeling to feel like you're stuck in life and you can't do anything about it. And I want to tell you this morning, if that's the feeling you have, I've come to let you know that you're not stuck. In fact, God's brought you to this place in this moment, in this hour, to remind you that He's still sovereign and He's still able and He's still working and He's still in the business of replenishing the old tank of gas that you need today to get back into the game and to back to the right place that you need to go. Listen to what the scripture says. It says there's a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. She was a wife of an important prophet. Cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. And so Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Now I'm going to stop there. I'm going to do a little different there, guys. And I'm sorry, but just hang tight. Go to some of the points. I'm going to come back to portions of this scripture in just a moment. We have to diagnose what's going on here in order to be able to find some way to get successful. This woman has come to the prophet and she says, listen, my husband has served the Lord. He's a man that feared God. He done everything right, but for some reason, he's no longer here. And he has left me into a situation that I can't see any way out. There's no way that I can get out. I've got two sons. They are precious to me. And I can't see any way that I can not only not provide for them, but I have a creditor that's coming to visit me today, and he's going to take my sons away. And he's going to take away everything that is valuable to me. Can I tell you, we have an enemy in our life that wants to take everything of value away from us. He's trying to take away our hope. He's trying to take away our joy. He's trying to take away all the things that God wants to do in our life. This woman had no gas left in her tank. She had no covering. The husband that she thought was going to be there was no longer there. She had no resources. He was the one that provided for the family. He was the one that provided the provisions for her family. She had no protection from this situation, and she was about to lose all the future that she had because this person that she thought was going to be there was no longer there. And she just felt like, hey, it's over. Now, I can't do anything. I've got two sons, and they represented her future. They represented her ability to do anything with her life. And so not only did she lose her husband, she was about to lose the sons that she thought would be there for a long time. She'd get to see them grow up and become men, have wives, but they were going to become slaves because she had no way of paying her debt. Some of us feel like that spiritually sometimes. We feel like everything we counted on's not there. And, you know, the resources that I thought were going to be there are no longer there. I got no way of making provisions for myself. I need protection. The enemy's coming against me. Everything that I love, I'm losing. Everything that I hoped would be here is gone. All the hopes and dreams of my life, I'm out of gas. I'm out of time. What am I supposed to do? How many know that your perspective can sometimes cause you to not think you have possibilities? Your perspective limits your possibilities. When you get into this mode, I often wonder, what does it take for a person to put a white t-shirt on their car and just walk away from it? They must have got to where they not only didn't love their car or care for their car, they must have despised their car just to say, I don't want it anymore. And some of us in life, we just sort of check out and say, I don't want this life anymore. I'm done. And so we just fill up our minds with things to keep us busy, to take our mind off of a predicament that we're in. You know, in this city, we see people all the time. Just this week, we saw, Sean told me about three girls that were in a car that were getting ready to shoot heroin right here in our parking lot. Why would someone, I often think of myself, why would someone turn to that? But then I'm reminded that if not for the grace of God, there go I. For I have someone that is my provision, that is my source, that is my hope, that gives me the covering that I need, that gives me the hope that I need. But many of us in the Christian community, we say these things, but Davis, we don't live them out. We're constantly walking around in fear, and we're constantly questioning ourselves and asking ourselves, is this going to work? And how can I just can't see it. And we get so emotionally dry and we get so emotionally spent that we start giving up spiritually. And so we just say, I'm just going to try to hold on until God either comes and takes me home or he changes everything. Can I tell you, God wants to change everything, but he needs a willing participant today. He needs somebody that wants to get engaged in life. You see, it's not a stand on the sidelines and hope someone comes along. This is not a fairy tale. This is faith in action. This is faith looking and reaching out to God and saying, Lord, show up in this moment and hour of my need. The psalmist said, I believe in Psalm 42 and 4, He reminds himself of something, so he's in a predicament. He's in a difficult situation. Things have run out on him, and so he says, I remember these things. I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. He was saying, I'm in a place of despair. I'm in a place of difficulty. I'm in a place of uncertainty, but I remind myself that God was there so many years ago when I used to go and celebrate him. So I'm going to look to him again. And that's what she begins to do. She goes to the prophet, the man probably her husband had served. Now some of us, when God changes our course, we get a little mad with God. Anybody ever been mad with God? I've been mad with God a couple times. It's okay to admit that. The Lord can handle your anger. He can deal with your anger. David, in anguish, would pour out his soul before God and say, how long, oh God, how long? And so God can handle the uncertainty and the anger and the fear if you bring it to him. See, she didn't just sit in her house and say, you know, there's nothing I can do. I'll just start running. Boys, pack up the things. We're going to run away from the debtors. Can I tell you, you can run away, but you can't hide. Whatever you're running away from, we'll find you eventually. Or you may be saying, well, if I can change this and change that, it'll change everything. No, until you get changed on the inside and work its way out, there ain't nothing going to change in your life. You may change address. You may change your name. You may change your identity, but you're still the same person. This woman knew that that had to be settled. Her accounts had to be made right in order for her to be able to live a life of freedom and set free from the things that her husband had left her behind to deal with. And so she goes to the prophet, and he looks at her. Now, she's saying, what do you mean, what can I do for you? She probably looked at him. She probably got a mm-hmm. But now he didn't stop with just that one question. He says, what do you have? Look at your neighbor and say, what you got? What you got? See, a lot of us, the reason we have no possibilities is because we don't look at what we have. Now, I didn't ask you today what you don't have. The prophet didn't ask her, can you give me a list now of things that are going wrong in your life? Can you write those down for me? I'll go pray for these situations in your life, and maybe God will change some things. You know, that's our answer to everything. I'm not diminishing prayer. Prayer is important. I believe we value prayer as much as anything here we do. But can I tell you, the Lord wants to know what you got. What you have in your life? What do you have in your life that God can use? I'm not asking you what you don't have. Well, Pastor, I don't have much in my bank. I'm not asking you that. What do you have? Pastor, I don't have any talents, many talents, but I'm not asking you what you don't have. I'm asking you what talent do you have? What do you have to present before the Lord today? She said, I have a little oil. Now, you got to remember here, this is good. Oil represents the anointing of the Lord in the Old Testament and in the New. Remember when Aaron was going to be anointed before he was going to be anointed to go in and make intercession for the nation of Israel. What did they do? They poured oil on him. They poured so much oil on him that it came down his beard and just dripped off his beard. That represented the power and the presence of God. So when she said, I have a little oil, he's saying, that's a good thing. Can I tell you, a little oil will go a long ways if you'll just let God have it right now. And what he said, okay, you take that oil. You take that oil, and I want you to do something. Go get a bunch of pots. What do you mean? It ain't but a little oil. Pastor, it ain't but a little bit. I didn't ask you how much you had. I'm asking you what are you expecting from God to do? And he's saying, go get pots. He said, I'm not talking about just every pot in the house. I'm talking about go borrow the neighbor's pots. Go borrow pots from all over the place and fill that house up with pots. And you begin to pour. Now, what did she do there? She went from her problem to her solution. And can I tell you today, if you're going to get over what's ailing you, and if you're going to get past the difficult moment that you're in where you're running on empty, it's about time you found a gas tank. It's about time you find somewhere to get filled up with the source that'll help you get through this time and this era of your life. Can I tell you, you got to reach beyond yourself. Don't look at your own limitations. Don't say, I can't. That's the worst thing you do, because what you're saying is God can't. Not I can't, but God can't. Can I tell you, my God is able today to do some things in your life. If you but give him just one little piece of what you have and let him begin to work in your life, reach beyond what you see into what you don't see and begin to exhibit the faith that you need to see God work in your life. Resist the fear to just hide away. Some of us, that we get fearful and we want to hide away. We want to just sing into somewhere and just be invisible. Resist the fear to run. Resist the fear to make excuses. I've been dealing with a lot of people, and not anyone in this room. I don't want you to think I don't divulge secrets. But I have calls from family members and folks that are asking me a lot of questions. And it's so frustrating, because all they can focus on is the problem. You know, we know that she had debtors that were coming after her. She knew that if she didn't come up with a solution, she was going to lose her boys. But she's saying, I know these things, Elisha. Tell me something I can do to get over these things. And can I tell you, the Lord knows the struggles that you face. The Lord understands the difficulty that you're enduring. The Lord sees you very well. He understands you very well. But the Lord understands that there is a way out. You may not see it. You may not understand it. But resist the fear to give up. And resist the fear to run away. And begin to take a stand and say, I'm not going to run away from my problem. I'm going to face my problem. I'm going to let God work in my problem. I'm going to let God get me over my problem so that I can move forward in my life. Rely on good people. Rely on good people. It amazes me how people that are stuck go to people that are stuck and say, let's go get unstuck. They do. Go down here to the local watering hole. These guys have been struggling with alcohol all their lives. Can't get over the drunk. So they go hang out with another drunk. Say, what do you think? Give me another round. They just stay in the place. If you want to get out of a bad place, go find somebody that figured out how to get out of there and find out how they did it, and then imitate them. What did Paul say? Follow me as I do what? Follow Christ. He's saying rely upon the counsel of the Lord. Rely upon God's wisdom. Find people that are making things happen. Find people that are having success. Begin to ask them the question, hey, how can I get to that better place? And begin to watch them and begin to emulate them. He told her exactly what she needed to do. It didn't make sense. It's like me sometimes telling people, hey, pastor, I'm struggling with my wife. She doesn't seem to want to get along. She's got things going on in her life. And I'm saying, man, get alone with God and begin to pray. Yeah, but you didn't hear me. I'm saying she won't listen to me. She just keeps doing. I'm saying get along with the Lord. But pastor, I'm asking you to do something about her. And I'm saying, hey, listen, I can't do nothing about her. But if you'll get yourself in the right place, God will give you the wisdom to handle her, or God will give you the wisdom to get through this thing. But you can't fix anybody else. Only you can fix yourself. Rely upon the strength of the Lord and realize what you have. You have something. Each one of you here have something that the Lord can do something with. But you focus so much on everything else that you don't realize that. When you get in a bad place and you don't know what to do, when you've reached the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Hang on. God's not going to leave you. God's not going to forsake you. You may feel that sometimes. The prophet Isaiah said it this way in 43:2. When I pass through waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through fire, that shall not be able to burn you, nor shall the flame scorch you. Can I tell you, when God is with you, all the waters may rise, but you're going to still swim. God's with you. The fires may come, but you will not be burned. If you'll but trust in the Lord and rely upon his strength and rely upon his passion and his power in your life, whatever you're facing, God will give you the ability to overcome. Job. Look at Job. Now, we tend to focus on Job's former life and his latter life. Job lost everything and gained everything back. But the enemy came against him with everything. Now, here, the enemy will come against you with everything. But there's one thing he can't take, is your faith. You can relinquish it. You can give it up. But he can't take your faith. And he took everything. The only thing he didn't take from Job is three bad friends and a wife that nagged the daylights out of him. All of his kids, all of his possessions, everything's gone. He's unhealthy. He's got boils on the side, all over his body. He's laying in an ash heap, and his wife walks up to him and say, "Job, curse God and die." And the friends come over and say, "Job, you done something wrong, so you better confess your sins." He said, "You be quiet. I ain't done nothing wrong with the Lord. And woman, you're foolish. Naked I came into this world, and naked I shall leave. But I know one thing. I will see my Redeemer, for he lives." And can I tell you today, you have that promise before God. The devil may come against you. He may try to bring hell against you, but he can't take your faith. And when you have faith, your faith is the thing he can't do anything with. And you can pass through deep waters and you'll swim. And you can walk through the fire and it will not burn you. Because my Lord is the source. Amen. And once you find the source, you need to tap into him. Tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, faith can do great things as we allow that faith to work. But when we are wanting that faith to really begin to take some significant working in our life, we've got to be prepared to act. I started to do this morning. I started to put Jacob on the spot, but I'm going to let him go today. Started to tell Jake, go in that closet, go in there in that kitchen and find every pot you can. His first question is, "Why, Dad?" You can imagine the kids looking at their mama. Said, "I done talked to the prophet. He said, go get a bunch of pots." "Why, Mom?" "It's a small glass of oil. Go get the pots." "Mom, it ain't gonna do no good." "Go get the pots. Fill this house up with pots." She didn't see the oil. The oil didn't present itself when the prophet told her. She was told to prepare herself for the outpouring of the oil. And so she filled the room up with pots. And she got all the neighbors' pots. She acted. She expected the unexpected. She put things in place for God to do great and mighty things. You in your life, how many want God to do incredible things in your life? What are you doing to prepare yourself for that incredible? See, if you're doing what you're doing and getting what you're getting now, that's probably all you're going to get when you get there. That's a lot of getting. What I'm saying is begin to prepare yourself. Put yourself in a place where God can do the work. Expect him to do something incredible. That's what I'm saying this morning. If you could have just come into this morning saying, "Lord, I know you're going to show up and do great things in my life. You're going to speak to me. I'll guarantee you, I wouldn't have had to spoke a word because the Holy Spirit would have begun dealing with you. He'd have begun speaking into your heart because he's no respecter of persons. He loves you as much as he loves me. He cares about you as much as he cares about me. And all he wants you to do is just open up that vessel and let him pour himself into you. And when you begin to expect the unexpected and you don't have anything back, you're going to see God be God in incredible ways. Amen. So you got to let God be God. But you got to do you. And you got to be the best you can possibly be. Now, faith can move mountains, but don't be surprised if God gives you a shovel. Some of y'all need to put that on your Facebook. We want, you know, God for some reason chooses to use us. Now, he can do anything, we know that. But see, when he incorporates our lives into his plan, he uses a simple-minded man named Thurman Collier and stands before a bunch of people and begins to declare the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord begins to manifest itself in your life. And it's like, oh man, this is awesome. It gives you a strength and a joy and a purpose that you never realized before. See, when you're doing the work of the Lord, incredible things happen. And God allows you to enjoy his favor. But are you tapping into him? See, we in the church have done a good job of magnifying the place of restoration, but a lot of us are not fully restored. We're still broken. We're still messed up. We talk about the oil. We talk about the power of the oil. But when's the last time you were truly baptized in the power of his presence? Now, I ain't talking about some emotional, incredible, I'm talking about where it's life-changing. See, God wants to change your life. He literally wants to change your life. But you got to present yourself in a way that allows the oil to be poured into you. She started pouring that oil. And as long as she poured the oil and there was pots, it was there. But as soon as they filled every last pot, it was gone. Are you presenting enough to the Lord so he can truly change you? I got news for you. This isn't Brill Cream and a little dab will not do you. I'm showing my age there a little bit because some of them kids look at me back like, what in the world is Brill Cream? You got to be fully, fully filled with his presence. Jeremiah says it in chapter 7, verse 23. But this is what I command you. This is the Lord. Obey my voice and I will be your God. And you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you that it may be well with you. It may be well with you. Would you stand with me this morning?